Good morning, sir. Before we get started, what is your name, sir?
Kai Jin.
Okay, so, what's your name? That's a reputation. Okay, the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson will serve as your lead for this hearing, sir. So just hang on.
So I thought that's what I was going to do the parole.
Yeah, I did too.
No, I did too, but I couldn't.
Good morning, sir. Could you please, can you hear me good? Can you hear me plainly, sir? Hello?
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. It's real low, though. The sound is low. Is there a volume we can turn up? All right.
Is that any better?
Yeah, that's better, sir.
Okay. Sir, for the record, could you please state your name, your ADC number for us?
Kai William Tillman. 215-156.
Okay, sir, you're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency, sir. I'm going to introduce you to the board members that will be conducting your hearing this morning. To my far left is the Honorable Luis Quinones. Coming down the line is the Honorable David Newell. In the middle, sir, you have the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, who's our board chair. To my immediate left is Mrs. Gail Rittenhouse. Sir, my name is Michael Johnson. I'm going to be acting as your panel lead today. Also with us today, sir, representing the Department of Corrections, as well as the Parole Office, is Mr. Grady. Mr. Tillman, prior to your hearing today, you received and signed a notification form advising you of this board's hearing. Do you recall receiving and signing that form, sir?
Yes, sir.
On that form, you were notified of the right to appear and speak on your own behalf or to hire a licensed attorney at your own expense. Did you hire an attorney or are you representing yourself today?
I'm representing myself today, sir.
Okay, thank you, sir. At this time, I'd like to swear you and Mr. Grady in. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm?
Yes,
I do.
Sir, your hearing will be conducted in two phases. In phase one, the board will make a determination whether the terms and conditions of your community supervision have been violated. In phase two, sir, the board will make a determination whether to revoke or reinstate you on your community supervision. We're going to start out in phase one. Mr. Tillman, you have one allegation listed on your warrant. I am going to read that allegation to you. When I read that allegation to you, sir, I need you to state whether the allegation is either true or false. Do you understand what I'm requesting, sir?
Yes, sir.
All righty. The allegation on the warrant states that you're in violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision Number 2, as demonstrated by your failure to follow the directives of your parole officer. You failed to report in for a face-to-face contact visit on or about April 4, 2018, as verbally written directed on March 27, 2018. Your whereabouts were unknown, thus you were absconding from supervision. Sir, is that true or false?
That's true.
Okay, thank you, sir. Okay, so based on the admission of Mr. Tillman, I move to find that he was delinquent as he did violate the terms and conditions of his supervision, and that he may have lapsed or was about to lapse into criminal ways or company.
Agreed.
Okay, motion by myself, second by Ms. Rittenhouse, agreed Mr. Quinones, agreed Mr. Newell, and agreed Dr. Wright. Okay, so we're going to go into phase two of your hearing. During phase two, the board will make a determination whether to revoke or reinstate you on your community supervision. We're going to start off phase two by first getting some additional information from the parole officer, Mr. Grady. Then we're going to go over some information with you, sir, then give you the opportunity to present whatever information you'd like to present to the board, okay?
Okay.
All right, thank you, sir. Mr. Grady.
Mr. Tillman was released from DOC on March 27, 2018. He was arrested on June 18th of 2019 by Polk County Sheriff's Office in Georgia. He has no charges. He returned to DOC on June 30th of 2018. He has a CSED of July 10th of 2019 that reflects 75 of county days. Current conviction, 2011, aggravated assault, 8 years. Prior convictions, 2007, unlawful use of means of transportation, 1 year, 6 months. 2008, endangerment, 1 year. 2008, criminal damage, 1 year, 6 months. He has 3 terms for DOC. His CBIR scores are 5.5. Criminal scores are 3. Substance abuse scores are 2. He has no gang affiliation. Prior term of supervision, 2007. TIS release completed 5 months. 2009, TIS release completed 2 months. Disciplinary violations of minors with violence and drugs noted. Other arrests, 2004, DUI liquor, drugs, vapor combo, California misdemeanor conviction, probation. 2005, stolen property, California felony conviction, probation. There's a community risk score of G6V8.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Grady. So, sir, when you were released without any approved placement, then you were then initially developed for you to reside at TLC on Roosevelt, 2202 East Roosevelt in Phoenix. It looks like on March 27th, you were given permission to reside at 12468 West Via Camilla Avenue in El Mirage, pending any further approval. This address was incorrect, and you did not have any other approved placement while on supervision. So, sir, while you were on supervision, where did you stand at? What did you do when you were released?
Well, when I got released, it wasn't my real parole officer. It was a female officer that was a substitute for my real parole officer. So she just told me to give an address. And the last address I knew was my friend's address, which was my ex-girlfriend. And it was 12466, not 48. So I didn't remember the address. And when I got to El Mirage, I knocked on the door, and it was an old lady, and she said that that family did not live there. They moved out a couple years ago. And because I did so much time, I didn't know that. So when I got released after 7 years, I went there, and they had lived there. So when I left the house, I just called my mother to come pick me up. And my mother lived out of state, and my mom would drove me out of state back to her house in New Mexico, Davie, New Mexico, which was like 6 hours away from Phoenix, Arizona. And the reason why that was is because it wasn't my real parole officer. So she didn't give me a halfway house to go to or TLC, which is right down the road. I could have went to a halfway house, but it wasn't my real parole officer. It was a substitute. So she ordered me to go to that address that I gave her, didn't call nobody or give no, she had checked on that address. She just took my word and wrote it down. I was like, okay, you're free to go. Come back April 4th to see your real parole officer because he's out on vacation. So when I came back, when I left my friend's house, I went my mom and I left the state. I was already out the state. So April 4th, I didn't make it back to Phoenix because my mom's water pump blew. I guess her car engine blew and we got in the car at 6 in the morning from Denver, New Mexico to drive back to Phoenix, Arizona to see my real parole officer. And my mom's car, I didn't have transportation because my mom's water pump blew. So when I tried to get back to Phoenix, Arizona, I didn't have no transportation April 4th. And my real parole officer, I guess, is when he issued the warrant for my arrest. And that was the reason why. But I didn't have a real parole officer when I got out to speak to give me a like sober living or TLC halfway house, because then I would have still been out to this time at a halfway house downtown Phoenix. But they just took my word for that address and I had nowhere to stay, so. That's the reason why I left the state, because I had a substitute parole officer, basically what she said. I didn't have a real parole officer. He was out on a vacation or something. I guess he was at a Disney World or Disneyland with his children on a vacation or something. And She was like, well, stay out for a week if you can, and come back April 4th, and when your real parole officer comes, you can decide where he's gonna send you, TLC or some halfway house in Phoenix.
Okay, so...
I am gonna live homeless on the streets for a week, so...
So, Mr.
My mom has a brand new house, a few hours away in Denver, New Mexico, so I just went to go live with my mom's house, because she said she had a bedroom for me. A bed, a bedroom with my little brother, so...
Alright.
Normally, I just went to the bedroom to my mom's house.
So, Mr. Tim...
I live homeless on the streets of Phoenix for a week, and...
Mr. Tim...
I'm getting,
Mr.
you know,
Tim.
In trouble, or getting shot...
Mr. Tim...
Picking up, you know, some more crazy, you know, stuff happening, being homeless on the streets.
Mr. Tim...
Yes, sir.
When you went to the address and you found out that it was a bad address, why didn't you call the parole officer and let her know?
Oh, because I didn't have a phone. I just got out like 2 hours ago.
But you said that...
I just got out like a few
sir,
hours
ago.
I didn't have a phone.
Sir,
I didn't have no money.
Sir.
I mean, I could have went to a payphone.
You said that you called your mother and your mother came to pick you up. If you called your mother,
yeah,
why didn't you call your parole officer?
I stood outside of a Circle K and I asked a dude to use his cell phone to call my mom.
Okay.
But
why didn't you call
the parole officer?
You could have called the parole officer too. Why didn't you call the parole officer to make arrangements with the parole officer?
Oh, because she said that my real parole officer wasn't in. She was a substitute.
Okay,
so
I understand that.
Who was my real assigned parole officer?
Why didn't you call that substitute parole officer who had given you the opportunity and taken your word that you had a place to stay and listen to you, and then you didn't call her back to correct the issue?
Oh, because I didn't know what she was gonna say. I thought that she might have, you know, cuffed me up in there and sent me back to prison, or I thought she was gonna say if you didn't have nowhere to stay or live right there, that she wouldn't let me leave their office, and she was gonna cuff me up and send me back to jail because I was, you know, transient, so I didn't know, so I just called my mom so I could, you know, be free for a week and eat and see my mother and brother, because I ain't seen my mother in 7 years. I ain't got a visit from my brother and mom in 7 years, so I at least wanted to see my mom and little brother after 7 years, because I thought if I went back in there and had nowhere to live until I was homeless, she was going to cuff me up and send me back to jail until,
So Mr. Tim,
so she found me a halfway house or found me some
Mr. Tim,
half homeless shelter to stay in Phoenix.
Mr. Tim,
yeah.
When you spoke with your PO, weren't you informed that it was a violation of your parole to leave the state?
No. She didn't tell me that. She just told me if I didn't report April 4th, it was a parole disobeying a direct order.
Okay, so when you talked to your PO, you actually signed a condition of supervision release. And one of the conditions of your release, which was item 3, says that I will secure a written travel permit, waiver, or extradition from my supervisor also before leaving the state of Arizona. So, I mean, you signed the document, so she would have informed you that you couldn't leave the state of Arizona, and you called your mother and you went to Mexico, where you stayed there. So that was a violation of your parole. But then I have a follow-up question that you not only went to Mexico, how did you wind up in Pope, Georgia?
Well, from New Mexico, after April 4th, it got to the end of April, I think it was May. I think about May 3rd when my friend had some work for me in Florida, and my little brother said that he had some work for me in Florida, and since I already had the warrant for not going, they said that I might as well save up some money and work a job with them, landscaping and passing out flyers in St. Petersburg, Tampa Bay. So there was private islands in Tampa Bay and St. Petersburg. And I went to Disney World for a week, and I went to Treasure Island Beach in St. Petersburg, Florida, was a celebrity in Richmond, New Hampshire, because my little brother hooked me up with some of his friends, and I started landscaping in St. Petersburg, and I lived on the Treasure Island Beach for the last 3 weeks in St. Petersburg. And then I met a girlfriend that worked at the Penthouse, which is a five-story hotel that's on the Treasure Island Beach, and she was the manager there, so she gave me a job working at the hotel, being a maid, like laying blankets, pillows, making the bedrooms and beds, and then I was working on the Treasure Island Beach, passing out flyers, making $15 an hour. Then I got a landscaping job working in rich, deep, restricted communities on the private islands in Tampa Bay, where the Buccaneers play football at. So I was passing out flyers like a paperboy from door to door, and I do 500 flyers a day for 50 bucks a day. And the reason I had that money is because I didn't get an idea of check to go on the bank pastor's check, because it was under the table, $50 in my hand every day at 3 p.m., which is about $250, $300 a week. And that's why I got the money. And then I met my friend Johnny, and he's the director of the movie Magic Mike, and his best friend is Chanton Tate,
okay,
who's the celebrity star actor that played in the movie Magic Mike.
So Mr. Chanton
owns
Mr.
three
Chanton
properties, which is three mobile homes on 45 acres of land in Cedartown, Georgia, and I got into the Dodge Ram 1500, and we left his mother's house in St. Petersburg. We drove 800 miles to Atlanta, Georgia, in a Dodge Ram 1500 trunk. And then I started landscaping out there because he offered me a job to work with him out there landscaping and cutting grass. And he wanted me to lay concrete because he has two trailer mobile home houses on 45 acres of land.
Mr. Tillman, listen to me.
Laying carpet, painting the houses and everything. He offered me $800 to
Mr.
work
Tillman.
With him, laying carpet and painting his houses.
Mr. Tillman.
So I drove with him out there to Georgia and then
Mr. Tillman.
Stayed with him out there. Yes, sir.
Okay, so all of that sounds like you just had a good time while you were gone.
Yep.
That's what it sounds like to me. You met some very interesting people, you traveled, you were at some really interesting places, and all of that sounds as though you were just out having a good time while you were out. Tell me, how did you come in contact with the Polk County Sheriff's?
That's what I was trying to figure out. I should still be free. I was in Cedartown, and I was landscaping. I cut the front lawn on the back lawn. I cut about 10 acres of land on a lawnmower, not the ones you push, the ones you sit on. And I was...
So how did you come in contact with the police? How did you come in contact with the police, sir? How did you get
there? I know.
Just
my third day. It was only my third day being in Cedartown, and I fell asleep, and I woke up about 6 in the morning to my girlfriend calling me from St. Petersburg, and I went back to sleep at 10 in the morning. The police knocked on the door, and there was like 9 U.S. Marshals, and they just said, "Time, Tim, come out with your hands in the air." And my friend Johnny was standing on the front lawn asking what happened. I said, "Did you call the police?" He's like, "No, why did I do that? Why would I drive 800 miles just to call
the police?" So where are you staying? Were you at a hotel or someone's house?
No, I was on 45 acres of land around 3 houses.
Alright, so I don't see if the board has any additional questions for you. Say no additional questions coming from the board. Mr. Tillman, is there anything, we're coming up on the conclusion of your hearing, sir. Is there anything else you'd like to say to the board without repeating yourself, sir?
Do you know who tipped out the police that called the police on how they knew where I was at? You guys have that information?
We have no idea, sir. We just have that you were arrested by the police. So that's why I asked you, how did you get arrested? So, sir, listen to me. The board's going to go into a discussion, sir. While the board's in discussion, I'm going to ask you to remain silent. However, remain on the phone while the board's in discussion. While we're in discussion, we will make a determination whether we revoke or reinstate your community supervision. But you'll be able to hear the conversation taking place amongst the board, okay?
All right.
Board's now going into a discussion. It appears that Mr. Tillman says that when he got out of it, appears that his PO was being pretty fair with him, working with him, trying to give him the benefit of the doubt of the address where he was going to stay at, but it was the wrong address that he gave out to the PO, and he, after going to that address, he says that he called his mother in Mexico, and then his mother drove down and picked him up in Mexico and drove him back home, and he didn't report to his PO, and he didn't call his PO, although I think he was on community supervision twice in 03 and 09, and he completed his community supervision, so he's very well aware that the PO is there to work with him and help him out, but he was absconded for 75 days, and he told us he went to Mexico, he was kind of traveled, went to Florida and to different places, Treasure Island, I don't even remember all the places he said he went, but sounds as though he had a good time while he was out. And then he was arrested in Polk County, Georgia, when he was arrested by the police. So he not only violated his parole and absconded, but he left the state of Arizona and went to New Mexico, and left the state of New Mexico and went to Polk County, Georgia, and a couple of other places that he had the opportunity to actually visit. So based on all of that information and listening to Mr. Tillman, I don't see Mr. Tillman being suitable for community supervision, although he does have a little over a year left to do on his community supervision. But at this time, I'm not thinking Mr. Tillman is suitable for community supervision. However, I'm willing to listen to the rest of my colleagues. Okay, therefore, I am going to make a motion and move to revoke the community supervision of Mr. Tillman, find that he was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of his supervision, and add lapses by the lapses to criminal ways or company, as he was an absconder for 75 days, and we don't know exactly what he was doing during that period of time, as well as he left the state of Arizona, went to New Mexico and Georgia, and was, may have went to some other states as well. That would be my motion.
Second.
Agreed.
Agreed.
I didn't hear who made the second. Okay, second, Ms. Rittenhouse. Mr. Neal.
Yeah.
Agreed, Mr. Quinones. Agreed, Ms. Rittenhouse. Agreed, Dr. Wright. Served. Mr. Tillman. Mr. Tillman.
Yes, sir.
Sir, the board has voted to revoke your community supervision. You will be released on July 10th of 2019. Mr. Tillman, I want to thank you for taking the time and opportunity for participating in your hearing today, sir. That is going to conclude your hearing at this time. Could you please put the CO3 back on the line and just set the phone down and don't hang it up?
All right. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.